last speaker is going to be Rabbi Aaron Cohen, and he's a member of the Natoria Karka UK base in Manchester. Was born and bred in England. His grandparents came to this country from Eastern Europe approximately 100 years ago. He was trained as a rabbi but was active for many years in commerce. In more recent years, he became more involved in ecclesiastical duties within the Jewish community and was particularly involved in educating the youth. He describes himself as one of the many Orthodox Jews who completely sympathize with the cause of the Palestinians in their struggle against the Zionist state. And he will speak to us in regards to segregation and liberation of Judaism from Zionism, the Orthodox Jewish theological approach. We welcome Rabbi Cohen.
Honorable attendees of this, which I think, outstanding conference on the theological approach to the confrontation that exists in Palestine between the Zionists and the Palestinian people. It's my honor and privilege to have the opportunity of addressing you on this subject, and I, of course, thank our friend Masood, and I'm very grateful to him for giving me the opportunity of addressing you this afternoon. Some of the things I'm going to say may duplicate to some degree what my colleague Rabbi Weiss has mentioned, but perhaps with a slightly different stress, a slightly different approach, and repetition does not necessarily do any harm. It's particularly relevant for me to be able to talk about the theological approach to this matter, to the matter of the confrontation in Palestine, because the very reason why I and my colleagues at Natoria Karka try to make every effort to take part in discussions such as this is because we feel that we have a religious and a religion-based humanitarian duty to publicize our message as much as possible, and by doing so to remove the stain which we feel blots the image of the Jewish people. Our very raison d'etre is to bring out the practical application of our theological approach. So, firstly, I hope and pray that with the Creator's help, my words and our discussions here today may be correct and true in their content and in their conclusions. Another reason why the opportunity to talk today is important is because the theological approach does not always coincide with the political attitude. And for us, it is the theological reality and truth, as we consider it, that is all important. Firstly, my friends, the short and simple theological message from Orthodox Jewry is that Zionism and Judaism are total opposites, incompatible and diametrically opposed. Zionism is not Judaism in any way. And as a corollary to this statement, although not strictly relevant to today's discussion, anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism. You may note that we do not talk about Orthodox Judaism, which could imply a certain brand of a Judaism as opposed to other brands. We talk about Orthodox Jewry, that is, the generality of Orthodox Jews. By this I wish to bring out that our teaching is that there is only one authentic brand of Judaism, the religion, as has been taught and handed down through the generations. However, there are various grades, shall we say, of adherence among Jews as regards to our religion, regretfully. And what I wish to do is to talk to you in the name of Orthodox Jews. What is an Orthodox Jew? An Orthodox Jew is a Jew who endeavors to live his life completely in accordance with the Jewish religion. And what is important today is that the Jewish religion and the Jewish belief absolutely forbids Zionism, both on grounds of religious belief and on grounds of Jewish religious values of humanitarianism, as I hope to explain. Now, even if you see and hear on the media what appear to be Orthodox Jews supporting Zionism, rest assured, as I will explain, their approach is an aberration and a distortion of Judaism. It's an absolute departure from the teaching that has been handed down to us through the generations. Zionism has the ideal, and has always had the ideal, of imposing a secular but sectarian state over the heads of the Palestinians, the indigenous population. And it is this aim which has resulted in the terrible confrontation which has cost so many lives, both Palestinian and Jewish, with no end in sight unless there's a very radical change. A brief look at the Jewish religious belief point of view. Our belief, our teaching is that we were given our Torah, as it is called, and it has been taught to us through the generations by our great religious leaders. And against this, I want to have a brief look at the history of Zionism, how it developed and what are its aims. Now, our religion is for us a total way of life, showing us how to live a life in our service of the Almighty. It affects every aspect of our life, from the cradle to the grave. We are taught that it was revealed to us by divine revelation, as described in the Bible some 3,500 years ago, and that is when the Jewish people came into being. All of our religious requirements, practical and philosophical, are set out in the Torah, and the Torah comprises the Bible, the Old Testament, and a vast code of oral teaching which has been handed down to us through the generations. I think it's relevant for you to understand also that Judaism does not have a missionary ideal. We do not expect the whole world to adopt the Jewish religion. If one differentiates between the Jewish belief, i.e. the belief in one God, and the Jewish religion, i.e. the practical requirements of the Jewish religion, one can say that we would hope that the whole world would have the belief in a God, which in general they do, but which has been expanded to other religions. Whereas we are taught that the Jewish practical religion is a requirement only for the Jews. Now, as mentioned earlier, our religion is a total way of life covering every aspect of our life. Now, one area, and only one area, of our religion, our belief, is that subject to certain conditions, we would be given a land, the Holy Land, now known as Palestine, in which to live and carry out various aspects of our service of the Almighty. I said there were conditions. The conditions for our being granted this land were basically that we had to maintain the highest of moral, ethical, and religious standards. Now, it is history that the Jewish people did have the land for approximately the first 1,500 years of their existence. However, regretfully, the conditions were not fulfilled to the required degree, and the Jews were exiled from this land. And what has followed is that for the last 2,000 years or so, the Jewish people have been in a state of exile, which is decreed by the Almighty, because they didn't maintain the standards expected of. Now, what is it? All this was and is foretold in our Torah. this state of exile is a situation that exists right up to the present day, and the crux of the matter is that it is a basic part of our belief to accept willingly and with humility that the heavenly decree of exile, and not to try and fight against it or to end it by our own hands. To do so would constitute a rebellion against the wishes of the Almighty. Before I go any further, I wish to point out something else which is also very basic for understanding the difference between Judaism and Zionism. And that is that the Orthodox Jewish concept of nationhood is very different to the concept of nationhood held by most people. Most people understand the nation to be a specific people living in a specific land. The English live in England, the French in France, and so on. The land is essential for the identity of the nation. The Orthodox Jewish concept of nationhood, however, is different. It's a specific people with a specific religion and belief. It's the religion that establishes the national identity. Whether they have a land or not, the land is immaterial to the Jewish national identity. And this is borne out, if you think about it, by the fact that the Jewish nation has been without a land for 2,000 years. But as long as they retained their religion, they retained their identity. So in practical terms then, we've maintained our identity by virtue of our attachment to our religion, but we are in exile. We are taught that exile means for us, this is our teaching, firstly that Jews must be loyal subjects of the countries in which they live, and not attempt to rule over the established indigenous populations of those countries. Our task is to remain politically neutral and not to impose demands. Secondly, we may not, also part of our belief, we may not attempt to set up a state of our own in Palestine. This would apply even if the land would be unoccupied, as the early Zionists claimed that it was unoccupied, falsely of course, but even if it was so, we would be forbidden to set up our own state. And it certainly applies when, as is the case, that there is an existing indigenous population. And this is what we have to understand. This prohibition on us is a basic part of our teaching, and we are forsworn not to contravene it, and we are also warned of dire consequences of doing so. This is what has been taught to us through the generations. So that is from a religious belief point of view. Now let's consider the Zionist movement. This was founded approximately 100 years ago, mostly by secular people who were discarding their religion, but still retained what they considered as the stigma of being Jews in exile. They considered that our state of exile was due to our subservient attitude, what they called the Golus mentality, Golus, the Hebrew word for exile, and not by divine decree. They wanted to throw off the constraints of exile and to try and establish a new form of secular Jewish identity, not religion-based, but land-based, based on a typical emotion-driven secular nationalistic aim, similar to most other nations. Their policy had as its centerpin the aim of setting up a specifically Jewish but secular state in Palestine. But what they were doing is they were forging a new kind of Jew, in fact not a Jew at all, but something called a Zionist, which is a different thing altogether. So this Zionist movement was a complete abandonment of our religious teachings and faith in general, and also an abandonment of our approach to our state of exile and our attitude to the peoples among whom we live. So the practical outcome of Zionism in the form of a state known as Israel is completely alien to Judaism and the Jewish faith. In fact, it may be of interest to know that the very name Israel, which originally meant what are known as the children of Israel, i.e. the Jewish people, that name is usurped by the Zionists for popularistic reasons, and for this reason many Orthodox Jews avoid referring to the Zionist state by the name Israel. So it follows that from a belief point of view, Jews have no right to rule today in Palestine. And it is relevant that our approach is that we have no right to rule in any of Palestine, ruling out the so-called political solution or political two-state solution. A further vital point, the ideology of Zionism is not to rely on divine providence, but to take the law into one's own hands and to try and force the outcome with their own force and form a state. And this is completely contrary to the approach of the matter of exile, which our Torah requires us to adopt, as handed down to us by our religious teachers. Now that's from the religious belief point of view. Let's consider the Jewish religious values of humanitarianism. And, as I mentioned earlier, this is, I think, as the common denominator between all religions. The Zionist ideology was and is to force the owner of a state, irrespective of the cost of in life and property, to anyone who stands in the way. So we have a fact that in order to achieve an ill-conceived nationalistic ambition, a shocking contravention of Jewish religious values of humanitarian justice was committed by the Zionists in setting up an illegitimate regime in Palestine, completely against the wishes of the established population, the Palestinians, depriving them of their self-determination in the land they've lived in for centuries and which almost inevitably had to be based on large-scale theft and loss of life. The religious view is that one must have compassion and consideration for one's fellow man. Depriving a people of their home and country is totally contrary to this requirement. So there you have the two approaches, Zionist and Orthodox Jew. Most Orthodox Jews accept the Natura Carta view to an extent, and this might be of interest to you, by the way, when I say most Orthodox Jews, of course, there's various shades of Orthodox Jews, but as a very sort of basic guideline, Jews who look like me. most Orthodox Jews accept the Natura Carta view to the extent that they do not agree in principle to the existence of the Zionist state and wouldn't shed a tear if it came to an end. Although it has to be admitted that there are a range of opinions as to how to deal with the fact that for the time being the Zionist state does exist. And these opinions range from positive cooperation to pragmatic acceptance to total opposition in every way, which is the latter being the Natura Carta approach. But there's another, an additional Zionist phenomenon which I referred to briefly before, and that is the religious Zionists. Now these are people who claim to be faithful to the Jewish religion, but they've been influenced by the Zionist secular nationalistic philosophy and have added a new dimension to Zionism, to Judaism, and this is Zionism. And which is the aim of setting up now and expanding the state in Palestine. Now they've added this, they've bolted this on to Judaism. I call it Judaism Plus. They claim that this is inherent to the Jewish religion. But the fact is, as explained earlier, and as is clear to every unbiased student of the Jewish religion, that this is absolutely contrary to the teachings of our great religious teachers as handed down to us through the generation. And from a humanitarian point of view, the religious Zionist ideology too is simply to force their aim, irrespective of the cost and life and property to anyone who stands in the way. And this is all the more shocking as it is done in the name of religion. Whereas in reality, there is a totally contrary requirement of our religion, and that is to treat all peoples with compassion. So to sum up, according to the Torah and Jewish faith, the present Palestinian Arab claim to rule in Palestine is right and just. The Zionist claim is wrong and criminal. Our attitude to Israel has to be that the whole concept is flawed and illegitimate. But there is one more problem, and that is that the Zionists have made a tremendous popular impact on a large proportion of the Jewish people, and in fact have made themselves to appear as the representatives and spokespeople of all Jews, thus with their actions arousing animosity against the Jews. And then those who harbour this animosity are accused of anti-Semitism. Zionism has ensnared and entrapped, regretfully, a large section of the Jewish nation. In order to liberate ourselves from this entrapment, it has to be made abundantly clear that Zionism is not Judaism. Zionists cannot speak in the name of Jews. Zionists may have been born as Jews, but to be a Jew also requires adherence to the Jewish beliefs and religion. Opposition to Zionism and its crime does not imply hatred of Jews or anti-Semitism. On the contrary, Zionism itself and its deeds are the biggest threat to Jews and Judaism, and are the biggest cause of anti-Semitism, or so-called anti-Semitism, in the world today. I say so-called because, thankfully, the old-fashioned, that has been over the centuries, what I call the old-fashioned bigoted form of anti-Semitism, thankfully, since the Second World War, that has become almost non-existent, I believe, but what has grown is an anti-feeling against the Zionist way of dealing with things. My friends, an essential part of theology and religion is prayer. We pray for an end to bloodshed and an end to the suffering of all innocent people, Jew and non-Jew alike, worldwide. I'd like to finish with the following words. We would wish to tell the people, especially our Arab neighbors, that there is no hatred or animosity between Jew and Arab. We would wish to live together as friends and neighbours, as we have done mostly over hundreds, even thousands of years, in all the Arab countries. In fact, over the years, it is a historical fact that when there was terrible persecution in Europe, the countries of refuge were Arab and Muslim countries. And it was only the advent of the Zionists and Zionism which upset this age-old relationship. We are waiting for the annulment of Zionism and the total, hopefully peaceful, dismantling of the Zionist regime, which would bring about an end to the suffering of the Palestinian people. We would welcome the opportunity to dwell in peace in the Holy Land under a rule which is entirely in accordance with the wishes and aspirations of the Palestinian people. May we soon merit the time when all mankind will be at peace with each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Cohen, for his speech. In summary, what he has mentioned in his speech was to point out the main differences between the Zionist movement against the Orthodox Jews, and how it is from a Jewish point of view, it is not sanctioned to rule Palestine or to have an Israeli state.